Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus. Naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. Drink Focus.com. By the way, I was talking about the Colts, and somebody said in through one of the streams, Caroline Fenton's out today, but somebody said through like the stream, they were like, why do we care? Because we hate the Colts, we hate their fans, and we hate the way that the media, you know, gets on their knees for them. And I was like, that's a fair point. Because I got to tell you, I am so tired. Today, Joe Rexroad made some point. I said that game yesterday is why I celebrated Carson Wentz when they traded him. You know, the day that I first met Caroline, we were Zooming, and they announced that the Colts were going to trade for Carson Wentz. And I posted a video. I got off the elliptical at home, and I posted a video. I was like, yes, yes, yes. And Joe was like, if Wentz was that bad, they'd be 6-11. I go, what about being bad? It was that this guaranteed that Indianapolis was not going to figure it out at quarterback. I didn't know any of these rookie quarterbacks. I didn't know that Mac Jones would be the best his first year. And it means that Indy wasn't going to trade up to get one of them. Meant Indy wasn't going to get, you know, pull a rabbit out of their rear end to get Deshaun Watson. Means they weren't going to get Andrew Luck. I mean, excuse me, Aaron Rodgers. Means they're stuck with this guy. And he's, you know, average, below average. Kind of stinks. Anywho. So analytics. Analytics don't like the Titans. By the way, when somebody has a website that I've never heard of, footballinsiders.com. We've been bringing it since 1997 on the World Wide Web. I just kind of ignore it. Most times in life, if you come to me with, this football website told me, I watch the games, and that's how I make my assessments. And considering that I told you the Titans were going to lose to the Steelers, I told you they were going to beat the 49ers, I told you they were going to beat the Dolphins, I told you they were going to lose to the Jets, I got a pretty good feel for the Titans. So the analytic websites, or at least the guys on Twitter with blue check marks that are trying to get you to respect them, don't like the Titans. Their analytic models don't like the Titans. And boy, people got outraged when it came to this idea of the analytics don't like the Titans. I saw somebody today say, one of the hard things about the analytic models with the Titans are all the guys that have been hurt. So that's, and Joe Rexroad, who probably reads every analytic.com article there is and probably thinks it's gospel, was like, see, now this makes sense. This is, I'm like, who cares? Who cares what the DVOA is? I don't even know what that is. Am I supposed to know what that is? I've been a pretty successful radio host for the last 5 years, and I don't know what it is, and I don't care what it is, and I don't care what your website says. Just like, you know, I said this the other day. I want to go out and get all these guys who came in and said the Titans offseason only was added by 0.31 expected points per average when the rest of the league is 2.7 points per expected. Who gives a rat's ass? That does not mean anything when it comes to the NFL. That's video game stuff, and nobody cares what a video game's going to say. There are a lot of things that you have to account for in an NFL game. And there are so many things that you have to account for in an NFL season. And all these guys put out analytic models every year, and they're never right. And in July, people get all worked up about it, and people make a big deal about it. And now we got people saying the Titans are the worst number one seed ever. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're telling me that the Titans are the worst number one seed ever. But if Kansas City had been the one seed, we wouldn't have said Kansas City's the worst one seed ever, right? They would have had the same records. But we wouldn't say Kansas City's the worst one seed. So what's your website? What does that mean? And I'll say this about analytics. It's a nice little buzzword. Just like how Starbucks turned a cup of coffee into a multi-billion dollar business. It's all buzz. Venti. Here's your coffee. Yoga. We go to yoga class. We pay $48 each time to stretch for 45 minutes. Analytics. We take some stats, we throw them together, we say, boom, here's your number. Doesn't mean anything. It's the same as Terry Bradshaw getting up there and chuckling like an old man on Fox. I'll pick the Saints. Okay. It's all the same. I read the book Moneyball, right? We've seen the movie, but I don't know how many of you have read the book. It's about baseball analytics. The Oakland A's changed the game. Ian, how many World Series has Billy Beane won as general manager of the Oakland A's? He was played by Brad Pitt in a movie. But how
That's
many,
a win right there.
How That is a win. How many World Series has Billy Beane won?
I believe zero.
How many World Series has Billy Beane been to?
I don't think any.
Analytics! Analytics! I'll tell you, the analytic model says zero. In the book Moneyball, which goes way more in depth than the movie, obviously, they talk about the draft. Now, the book was written in 2003. And we all know, in baseball, you draft a high school kid at 17, and it may be 5 years before they're in the majors. But, you know, baseball drafts don't really bear fruit. So I'm reading Moneyball, and they're talking about making selections for the MLB draft. And a guy that they just love, the analytic models for the Oakland Athletics love is a guy named Nick Swisher. And they are just obsessed with him. And they are just trying to figure out how they can get Nick Swisher. And the analytic models tell them, don't take a high school pitcher because high school pitchers fail. So don't take a high school pitcher. So they get to draft Nick Swisher, and they're ready to throw a parade because they got Nick Swisher. Nick Swisher has a career wins above replacement around 25. The pick after Nick Swisher, a high school pitcher by the name of Cole Hamels, who won the Phillies a World Series, was World Series MVP, and has a career wins above replacement of around 60. So basically, the analytic model said, don't take that guy. Take this guy. That guy is three times a better player and won them a World Series. What's this all about? Is it about getting the computers to like you? Or is it about winning football games? Because I don't know what the analytic models say about Deontay Foreman, but I know Deontay Foreman's a pretty good football player. I'm sure the analytic models loved Julio Jones. Oh, yeah, Julio Jones will give the Titans, you know, 0.75 more receptions per carry average yard.com. Doesn't matter if his hamstring's going to pop. Did they have that factored in of the analytic models? I'm sure they probably didn't. So we don't need to get worked up about it. We really don't. But I just want everybody to know that it's all bullcrap. And that if Floyd were still here today, and you were to tell him, Johnny Joe from footballprofootball.com. so on and so forth. If you were to tell Floyd that they said the Titans are the worst number one seed ever, according to these analytics, he would give you the old man chuckle. Okay. Because that's how those old football people feel. Do I think there's room for analytics in football? Yes. If I ran a football team, would I have an analytics department? And would I listen to them? I'm sure I probably would. That doesn't mean I want my coach going for it on fourth and goal from the 5 on the first drive of the game. They are not the end-all be-all of what you do. The Ravens went for it for a 2-point conversion at the end of two incredibly different games this year, playing Aaron Rodgers and the Packers with a backup quarterback, playing the Steelers with Lamar Jackson. They went for it both times. They didn't get it. And the national media and the analytics said, oh, yeah, no, this is a great idea. How? The Steelers aren't good on offense. Lamar Jackson is the best player on the field. So if you think, well, hey, Lamar can get us 2 yards, let's win it right here, fine. But then don't use that when you got a backup quarterback going against Aaron Rodgers. Now, if you're saying, hey, we want to get out of Dodge, we're going to try to get 2 yards instead of putting the ball in Aaron's hands in overtime, fine. But they're completely different games. But analytics, I mean, what this stuff does is it fills a void. Football is a 24/7, 365 industry. Everybody's looking for new content. When I was in the seventh grade, we got high-speed internet. This was like 2001. We got high-speed internet, so no more dial-up. And it was the first time I had a computer in my room. And that was cool back then. I mean, I was like 12. And I went in the off-season to every Titans football website that I knew because I just wanted to read about the Titans. That's what this stuff is. But it's all hogwash. All of it. Go back and look at the prediction models according to the analytics. And go back and look at Michael Strahan's preseason predictions. And I guarantee you there are some where Michael is more right than the analytic models. And Michael's got a full-time job. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I mean, who cares what the analytic models say? I mean, this analytic model says that Ryan Tannehill, DV.OA.com, unbelievable. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your thoughts in on that. And I just tell you, when I see people getting worked up, okay, this analytic model says, who cares? Yeah, the one that told you to draft Nick Swisher. By the way, it should be noted, in Moneyball, Jonah Hill's character is based off of Paul DePodesta, who is the, I think, what's his title in Cleveland? Like, director of football or something like that? I think he's the main guy in charge. So Andrew Berry's the general manager, Kevin Stefanski's the coach, and I think Paul DePodesta is above them. So he's a baseball guy who never did anything in baseball, came right out of Harvard, goes to Billy Beane and the A's, says, draft Nick Swisher. They do, runs a baseball team, gets fired from that, ends up, you know, with the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland's had one good year in like the last 10. He's been there for 5 years. They've had one kind of good season. They got to the divisional round of the playoffs. Woo!
I'm seeing Chief Strategy Officer.
And you know what his chief strategy is leading him to? Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham and Clowney. And oh, by the way, we haven't touched on this. What about all the Clowney is going to elevate the Browns? 615-737-1025. It's Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus Naturally Caffeinated Water with a Spark. Coming up next, you have got to hear. This is what people outside of Nashville really know of the Titans. We'll touch on this next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Let's go back to the Tennessee Titans, coach, because they lose Derrick Henry, the NFL's leading rusher at the time. They still clinch their division, and now they're in the seat for the one seed. They're one win away.
Yeah, and this Cincinnati win today really helped them. Now all they have to do is beat Houston next week. They'll be the number one seed. Another week to get Derrick Henry back healthier. And if they have to play the Chiefs again, it won't be in Arrowhead Stadium.
Tony Dungy knows. Don't go to Arrowhead. No, no, no. At least he knows that. That was like the extent of the national media coverage on the Titans yesterday. Cower and Nate Burleson, they said a little bit. I mean, after the Chiefs game was over, I'm watching the CBS postgame show. And I'm sitting there thinking like, gosh, these guys are definitely going to talk about the Titans. You know, now they're in the number one seed. They talk all about Joe Burrow, and he's all amazing, and he's so great. They talk all about Kansas City, and they're so great, and they got this, and they got that. And I'm like, okay, fine. They go to commercial. They come back. They recap all the other games. Then they talk about the Titans for like 5 seconds. I'm like, man, they really did not talk much about the Titans. It's like the analytic models don't like the Titans. Well, TV today, ESPN's not talking about the Titans. Number one seed in the AFC. And they're barely talking about the Titans. Michael Strahan yesterday. This should tell you all you need to know about the national media and the Titans. Michael Strahan yesterday was asked if the Titans could win the Super Bowl. And listen to how much Michael Strahan knows about the Titans.
Are the Titans good enough to make it all the way to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they beat the Colts. They beat, who else did they beat? New England. They beat... give me another team.
A good team.
They
go.
Won 10
Check
games.
This, though. They're not going to beat Miami.
They beat KC. So they beat all the tough teams. This is a team that's battle-tested. They have their formula how they win games. Mike Vrabel is one of the best coaches in the NFL.
He's my coach of the year.
One of the few coaches who come out of the Belichick like tree, who's actually has developed his own identity that has been successful. So I think the Titans are built
and did it without Derrick Henry. They're a great running back.
I just love it. You know, Michael Strahan's like, who'd they beat? They beat the Colts. They beat New England, which they did not. And then you got Terry Bradshaw. You know, that belly laugh. He's like Santa on TV listening to him talk. They don't know anything about the Titans. I mean, and then you got Charles Woodson jumping up and down. I didn't even know Charles Woodson was on the Fox crew. But you got Charles Woodson jumping up and down. And he's sitting there saying that Miami's going to beat them, which that was a close game. But I this is the thing I'm telling you. People get worked up about the analytics stuff. You know, this guy's website says the Titans are the worst number one seed. And they get worked up about what the national media says. I'll tell you, they don't know. They don't watch. They don't know. And it's just like, I could tell you before they played the Jets, the way they were trending, knowing how they struggled to get up for opponents, things of that nature. I told you, I was like, I think they're going to lose to the Jets. Caroline thought I was crazy. She hadn't done it long enough. She hadn't covered the Titans long enough. Now I think she kind of knows where I was coming from. Told you they were going to lose the Steelers. Game on the road. Titans are going to screw it up. Told you they'd beat the 49ers on Thursday Night Football. They're going to win this week against the Texans. I'm just telling you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Michael has been waiting patiently. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, first of all, Happy New Year, Jared.
Thank you.
Just wanted to, thanks. Just wanted to provide a little context about maybe why the analytics hate the Titans so much. And it's mostly just because they won the ball and they're a running team.
Does anybody care, though? Do you care? Do you care about why the analytics hate the Titans?
I think it's dumb. I think it's stupid. I'm not defending the analytics. I mean, the Titans are built to run the ball, and they should run the ball. They should run the ball probably more than they do. But, all these analytics people are like, you know, throw on first, second, third, fourth down, and that's why they don't like them. So, I disagree with it, but I think that's why they're saying the Titans are not, you know, a good number one seed. So I'll just hang up and listen. Thanks,
sure.
Ben.
Thank you, Michael. Here's what I think's funny is when it comes to the Titans and their improvement, and this is why when they win a game, and everybody's like, you got to give credit to everybody. Why? I give credit to the people who deserve credit. Do you know why the Titans are a better defensive team? Ian, do you know why the Titans are better on defense this year, night and day compared to last year?
Well, for one, I'd say the pass rush is up there.
That's why. That's why. Because last year, they tried to go on the cheap. They tried to get a couple reclamation projects. They went out and they paid money for Vic Beasley and Clowney. They paid $20 million for those two guys, and they got nothing from them. Nothing. This year, they went out and they got Bud Dupree and Denico Autry. And you add those guys with Simmons and Landry. Now they don't have to play every snap. Naquan Jones has really come along. Tier Tart has come along. I asked Shane Bowen early in training camp. I was like, do you think you'll be able to rotate defensive linemen in more and cut down on the amount of snaps that guys like Simmons have to play? And he said, yeah, I think so, but I'm not sure. But that's the whole point. The Titans are a better team because of their defensive line. These analytic guru numbers.com guys are like, well, if you take out Kenny Vaccaro, that's a minus one. Kenny Vaccaro is a safety. The secondary was completely redone. Jack Rabbit Jenkins in, Malcolm Butler out. Malcolm Butler was fine. Jack Rabbit Jenkins is fine. Christian Fulton in, Adoree Jackson out. But Fulton hasn't played every game this year. They won games at corner with Greg Maben and Chris Jackson because they got a defensive line. That's it. They have a defensive line. And that's the thing that it's like, well, the analytic guys don't like it because they run the ball a lot. That's probably true, honestly. And I don't know anything about it, and I don't need to know anything about it. But running the ball is not a bad thing. In fact, I think one of the strengths of the Titans is the way the league is gone. People want to get smaller. This is why Alabama and Georgia really can't be beat. Everybody wants to get smaller. Chip Kelly has this up and down offense in college, and it's no huddle all the time. And so you got to get smaller safeties and smaller linebackers that can run up and down the field for that. And then that kind of came over to the NFL a little bit, and you saw a little bit more up and down, up and down. So now your linebackers are going from 265 pounds to 230 pounds. Well, now I'm going to put a 250-pound running back back there and give him the ball. And now it's like watching Earl Campbell, but the defensive players are smaller too. It's a market correction. That's what Derrick Henry is. There's nobody. Derrick Henry is like Gronk. There is nobody, Gronk in his prime, there was nobody who was fast enough to cover Gronk and also big enough to do it. You put a linebacker on him, too slow. Put a DB on him, too small. That's what Derrick is. So I don't care. The analytic numbers, you guys do that on your own time. I couldn't care less. Greg is up next on the national disrespect of the Titans. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, so I think it's real simple in my mind why the Titans aren't getting the love. One, they've never won anything. They've had that opportunity. They failed in the Super Bowl.
The Cleveland Browns have never won anything. They get talked about on TV every 5 minutes.
Can I finish my statement?
No, you can let me talk, and then you can talk again.
Jared, be mature, dude.
No, you know what? Cut it. Goodbye, Greg. I responded to what you said, and then all of a sudden, guy comes back. Can I talk? Guys, this is how it works. You talk, then I respond, and then you talk. We've been doing this for 5 or 6 years. So I'm not going to have the guy come on and say, be mature. I mean, I think we've done a lot over the last handful of years. I don't need to be addressing this. Brad is up next on the tight ends. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, guys. Hope you're doing well and happy new year. Just wanted to get your take on what you think the Titans are going to do at tight end. I just do not see them elevating the practice squad guy, Austin Fort. I think you're going to have to go outside of the organization to grab something, something on another practice squad. And just wondering if you think the Titans would also kick the tires on Delaney at this point.
No.
Or you think that's completely gone?
Yeah, it's gone. Thank you for your call, Brad. I do think the Titans will look at the practice squads in the NFL of the Shanahan offensive system teams. So I think they will look at the practice squad of the Rams. I think they will look at the practice squad of Atlanta. I think they will look at the practice squad of the Jets. I think they will look at the practice squad of the Bengals. I think they will look at the practice squad of all these teams that run that
Green
Shanahan
Bay.
System.
Yeah.
Green Bay, San Francisco. They will look at all of their practice squads, and they will go out and get a guy. That's what I think they're going to do. And I know you're like, well, I mean, who's that going to be? I don't know. But I think it's going to be one of those guys. And they'll come in here, and they will play on Sunday against the Texans, and then they will try to put that guy into the mix. It's not an ideal situation. You know, it'd be nice if one of these teams just wants to release somebody like that, but that's probably going to be what the Titans have to do. And that third guy, you'll probably have him up to speed on your playbook, given that he's coming from one of your, you know, kind of offensive-type scheme teams, that you'll have that guy up to speed if you get the bye week by the divisional round of the playoffs. Look, Michael Pruitt, it's a loss. It's also not the end of the world. The Titans had Marcus Mariota out for the last game of the season that was a win or an end 3 years ago. That's the end of the world. Blaine Gabbert starting at quarterback on Sunday Night Football against the Colts. That's the end of the world. The other stuff, I mean, it's just, that's not that big of a deal. 615-737-1025. We are back to your phones, and we will do that next. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman & Company. FanDuel Sportsbook, that's my official sportsbook app. I'm sure you've probably heard of FanDuel Sportsbook by now. They are making every moment more this season. And FanDuel is the official sports betting partner of the NFL. That means you can place all your bets on a trustworthy app that's also easy to use. You can also celebrate for basketball. The NBA NBA's 75th anniversary season on FanDuel as well. Right now, they're giving new customers who place their first bet risk-free up to $1,000 if you don't win. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now's the perfect time to give it a shot. It's easy to use, and they are now accepting Venmo, and they've got fast withdrawals. So when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. They have odds boosts and specials, live betting, and more. There's no better place to bet on the NFL or the NBA than my official sportsbook app, the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with the promo code JGM to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this NFL and NBA season. That's promo code JGM. 21 and older and present in Tennessee, first online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
We sat there and saw all this offensive fireworks between Cincinnati and Kansas City. You're never going to see that with Tennessee. That's just not how they play the game, which makes the game of football so great because there's so many different ways of doing it. They're going to ground and pound.
Yeah.
Tannehill, as long as you just don't turn the football over,
right.
Some big plays, A.J. Brown, we'll lean in our defense. And you know what? When it's all said and done, it'll be a 17-3, a 20-10 game. And yeah, well, they can't do this, but you know, all of a sudden they got the bye. Derrick Henry will be coming back.
There you go. That was Bill Cowher yesterday on CBS. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Texter says, national media has totally bought in on the idea that the Titans are only relevant when they have Derrick Henry healthy and playing. That might be fair. I don't even think they really care that much for the Titans when Derrick Henry is healthy and playing. And I'm going to go back to this, and I just think it's that the national media thinks Tannehill sucks. And not only do I think they think Tannehill sucks, I think they find Tannehill to be disinteresting or uninteresting, right? Like Baker Mayfield sucks, but he's interesting. Kirk Cousins sucks, but he's interesting to talk about because they have so much invested in him and he never wins anything. But the quarterbacks that aren't great, but you know they're better than, you know, somebody else, like Alex Smith, that's not interesting for the national media. I think there's something to that. I will say this. In the AFC playoffs, I expect the Titans, if they play any of these three teams, Buffalo, Kansas City, or Cincinnati at home, I expect the Titans to be underdogs in Vegas against all three teams at Nissan Stadium. And in 2003, there were two MVPs that were co-MVPs, a Pro Bowl quarterback, and a guy who didn't make the Pro Bowl. And it was the guy who didn't make the Pro Bowl and had the 17th ranked total offense that ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. And the Pro Bowl quarterback who was second in total offense, the co-MVP who was third in total offense, and the co-MVP who was eighth in total offense didn't. So I think the Titans, you know, you're going to see a lot of this talk. Let's go to Jeff, who's up next, 615-737-1025. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, what's up, brother? How are you doing, Jared?
Good. Go ahead.
Man, I just can't understand all the national love that the Colts are getting. Like, for the past, you know, when they went on that winning streak or whatever it was, you know, everybody was saying, oh, this team could win the Super Bowl. This team, you know, could do this, do that. And, you know, they don't even talk about the Titans. Like, no one's mentioned Mike Vrabel as coach of the year. We've had so many injuries, and he's just swap people out, put people in there off the practice squad. You know, it's worked out for us. You know, it hasn't always been great, but it's worked out, and no one is singing his praises. And I just can't comprehend what everybody sees in the Colts and why no one's talking about the Titans. I'm going to hang up and let you talk, man. I love the show, brother. Keep it going.
Thanks. I don't think there's like one, you know, glove fits all for why people like the Colts and why people don't like the Titans. I think there's a lot of kind of interesting elements to that. Let me explain this for the Titans. The Titans yesterday against Miami absolutely housed them. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I think Miami is incredibly boring. Like, I have not watched Miami play this year except for Monday night, when I felt like I needed to watch because they were going to play the Titans. And even then, I found myself mentally checking out of the game. Like, I found myself, like, not paying attention, or my head was in my phone or whatever for that ugly Monday night football game. But the Titans yesterday started off with a punt, a touchdown, where they started off at Miami's 46, a field goal where they started off at Miami's 14, then they end up scoring a touchdown, punt. Like that, you know, they want Mahomes. They want the Cincinnati-Kansas City game. They want the fireworks. If you're not the Cowboys or you're not the Patriots or you're not the Packers, they want fireworks. And the Titans don't give it. Just like that Bill Cowher clip that we played. That's not the Titans ball game. That was not the Titans ball game. When I was a kid, the Titans and the Rams played in the Super Bowl. One of the best Super Bowls ever played. The next year, every game that the Rams played was on at 3:30, and it was Madden and Summerall. Because they were the greatest show on turf. Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, here comes Madden and Summerall. The Titans got the CBS F crew that they get today. Back then, it was Ian Eagle and Solomon Wilcox. But it was the same as the Adam Archuleta and Spiro Ditas crew that the Titans seem to get like four times a year. Or the Andrew Catalan, James Lofton crew. Or when Fox just runs people out there that I've never heard of. Though I do have to give Fox some credit. Did you see who their makeshift crew was yesterday, Ian?
For which game? I'm sorry.
It was the makeshift Fox crew that had, they were doing Seattle and whoever Seattle crushed. Detroit.
Detroit. No, I did not hear.
Gus Johnson.
Really?
And I miss Gus Johnson calling these games on CBS, but it was Gus.
Wow, very impressive.
So that, you know, I could work around a little Gus Johnson. John is up next on Deontay Foreman. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, Jared, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I think Deontay Foreman has been a real surprise this year. I think he's definitely overperformed, and I think he's earned a spot on the roster for next year. He's very similar to the way Derrick Henry plays. Obviously not as good because no one's that good. But I think that if you have him, you can run him a few times where you would otherwise run Henry. That helps tire out the defense. It saves Henry some carries, possibly saves Henry an injury, as we've seen this year, that we would have liked to have saved him. And just overall, I think he's been a pleasant surprise, and I think he's earned the right to keep playing with us, and I think he has something to offer even when Henry is back.
I completely agree, and I think they know that too. Thank you for your call. I think they know that. I think they look at Deontay Foreman, and I think they look to themselves and are like, why did we cut this guy last year? Because I keep trying to figure that out. I keep trying to figure out why no team in the league wanted him, not even for the practice squad. Like, when the Titans went out and got him, I understand why people didn't want Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson was old, couldn't play anymore. But, like, nobody wanted Deontay Foreman for their practice squad? Like, in case our other five running backs get hurt, we can play this guy. Nope, no thank you. I had no idea where that came from. Ben in Nashville says, hey, Jared, I feel these analytics are from the same people who thought that Clowney made a significant impact with the Titans last year without recording any sacks. All bogus. Bingo! When the Titans went out and acquired Bud Dupree and Danico Autry, it was the same day, and I remember talking about those two. And I was like, you know, Dupree's coming off an injury. We'll see. You know, he was good in Pittsburgh. I loved the Autry signing. I loved it. And the reason I love the Autry signing is because he was in the backfield against the Titans twice a year every time they had to play. I mean, he ate Ryan Tannehill alive last year in that Thursday night game. For 3 years, I've seen Danico Autry all over Mariota and Tannehill. So when you're telling me, yeah, you can put that guy on my, okay, yep, sold. I don't need what the analytics, I don't need that. If you're trying to fill time in June because you don't have any talent, you can go complain about what the analytic.com says about the Titans. Me, I saw Danico Autry in that backfield over and over and over again. I was like, that guy, I need that guy. 615-737-1025. Antonio Brown's got more problems, but it's not just AB who's got problems. We'll get to that coming up next. Focus. It is my naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. I love whenever you got a big day, like today was a big day. Whenever you got a big day, you got to crack open Focus. It's better than the artificial sugars and calories and crash that come with your other energy drinks. And you can find them at your local Publix today. That's Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, drinkfocus.com. Use the promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, at checkout, and you get 15% off. You can see all of their flavors, and you can have it delivered right to your door. Or again, you can go to your local Publix and grab a Focus. This right here is the mixed berry. Focus has that natural tea caffeine, so it's not something that's going to mess up your heart or do anything kind of crazy like that. And again, it's naturally energizing, brain-focusing, taste-tantalizing hydrator that combines simple ingredients to create the perfect guilt-free pick-me-up that your body will crave to feel its best. Find out more at DrinkFocus, P-H-O-C-U-S, DrinkFocus.com.
Very odd situation. Antonio Brown boiled over, very upset on the sideline, took off his shoulder pads. Mike Evans, O.J. Howard trying to convince him to keep them on. Obviously, they were unable to do so. He tossed his shoulder pads, stripped off his shirt and glove, threw those into the crowd, then ran across the field while the teams were still on the field, giving the crowd a peace out sign. I'll let you know when we hear something official on his status.
Bruce, congratulations on the win. We want to talk about that last drive, but I have to start with, can you tell us what happened to Antonio Brown? Did he quit? I've never seen a guy leave a field like that. And is this the last strike for him?
He is no longer a Buck. All right. That's the end of the story. Let's talk about the guys that went out there and won the game.
There you go. That was Bruce Arians. By the way, you talk about showing your ass. Bruce Arians. I mean, you know, the Buccaneers have not cut Antonio Brown today. So They had, I think, by 4 o'clock today to cut Antonio Brown. They didn't do it. What they're going to try to do, I think, is they're going to fine him for conduct detrimental to the team, keep him on their roster for this week, then release him so nobody else can sign him for the playoffs, which is just, I mean, ridiculous. Like, if the guy's cut, cut him. But you got Arians, who said if he messes up once, he's gone. AB has a fake vax card. And then all of a sudden, well, you know, we'll give him another chance. Then he does this. Now he's gone. He's gone. But they won't cut. So, Tom Brady, and I love this because Bruce Arians has this press conference yesterday and goes, I don't want to talk about him. I want to talk about the guys that are on the Bucs. Then he talks to Jay Glazer and Peter King, and he goes in depth about what happened with Antonio Brown. What happened to only want to talk about the guys that are on the Bucs? Ridiculous. But here's what bothers me. First of all, that Antonio Brown saga yesterday was the least surprising thing that I saw. Joe Burrow getting his nameplate ripped off and playing quarterback with no nameplate on the back and just a number like he's on the New York Yankees, that surprised me. Antonio Brown going crazy and running into the tunnel, taking himself out of the game, that didn't surprise me. That's par for the course with Antonio Brown. This is a guy who has thrown furniture off of a balcony. This is a guy who got in an altercation with a general manager on Hard Knocks. This is a guy who sat out because he didn't get to wear the helmet he wanted to. This is the guy who didn't show up for the Steelers at the end of their season. I mean, this has been like 4 years of all of this with Antonio Brown. Honestly, I was talking yesterday with somebody in Floyd's family. And they said to me, you know, could you imagine what Floyd would say? And I'm like, Floyd would say, this is the NFL, and that is unacceptable in the NFL. But when you have a guy like that, you know, I mean, it's kind of got to be what happens with Antonio Brown. But I love the fact that Arians can't keep this contained. Everything that Arians has said about Antonio Brown has led to like 18,000 other questions. Brady sits down yesterday, and Brady's like, I think we should all be cognizant of what people are going through. I think we need to have compassion. I think we need to have sympathy. And it really diffused the situation, which I thought was very professional of Tom. But I think the NFL's got a problem. And it's one that I think legally they may be worried about being honest. And this all goes back. Antonio Brown was always kind of an individual, but it didn't feel like the behavior was completely off the wall until Vontaze Burfict viciously hit him in the head in that playoff game in 2015. And ever since then, Antonio Brown has been all over the place. And clearly something is not right with Antonio Brown. Very clearly something is not right. And you hear everybody out there that says, hey, you know, I'm not going to judge somebody who's going through something because you don't know what they're going through. And Floyd used to always bring this up in reference to Antonio Brown, that he felt like Brown was never the same after he took that hit in the head. I think Roger Goodell has got to call Antonio Brown into the league office, and they have to work together to help out Antonio Brown. I know that sometimes people will not accept help, even when you offer it. Antonio Brown certainly seems like he makes some really poor, impulsive decisions. I was standing there in training camp where they were just doing simple one-on-one drills with the Titans and the Buccaneers, and I turn over, and I thought Antonio Brown was about to slug Chris Jackson in the face. And I'm like, is that A.B.? And they threw A.B. out of practice for like an hour, and then he came back and practiced. I was like, oh, big punishment over there. But it was just a simple little one-on-one drill. He's throwing haymakers at Chris Jackson. I've seen Chris Jackson for 2 years. I've never seen Chris Jackson get in a fight. But it's clear to everybody on TV that Antonio Brown's got something going on. And I think it's pretty clear to me, too. And I'm a big advocate of mental health. And I'm a big person who fears about concussions and head trauma and things like that. And it's obvious that AB's not the same. And you almost have to wonder if Roger Goodell, if he really, instead of worrying about optics, instead of worrying about what everybody else thinks, instead of all this, he literally sits there and says, I am taking Antonio under my wing. I know Antonio has a lot of problems off the field, but we're going to get Antonio the help that he needs, and we're going to make sure that Antonio gets the help that he needs, because we've kind of created a lot of this. I think that would be the right thing to do. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Antonio Brown's career is over. I think we're going to hear off-the-field issues with Antonio Brown, irrational decisions in the years to come that will happen because of Antonio Brown. I don't think anybody will take a chance on him. I think Brady was his last lifeline. And I think even now Brady's got to be like, hey, no, I can't. I tried my hardest, but I can't. But it's really sad. And I hate seeing it. I do. Now, it's amazing. 20 years ago, there was a terrible movie that came out called Juwanna Man. And Juwanna Man was about a basketball player who had an attitude problem and basically got mad in the middle of a game and stripped down and threw his clothes into the crowd and got kicked out of the NBA. So then Juwanna Man lost all his money, so he goes and fakes it as a WNBA basketball player named Juwanna Man. And it was a really terrible movie from 20 years ago. And I would assume most of you have not seen Juwanna Man. And it was wild how much what Antonio Brown did yesterday was exactly like the premise of that movie, Juwanna Man. Everything but the pants. And I do wonder what made AB stop at the pants. By the way, AB came out with a rap song yesterday, and it said, I guess it was called Pit, Not Palace. Does anybody know what that means? Like, I don't, Ian, do you know what that means?
Pit, Not Palace? I don't... Pit, down instead of up kind of thing? Down in the pits instead of up in the palace? I don't know.
I don't know. Pit, Not Palace, a new rap song by Antonio Brown came out. I will be passing on that one. By the way, there was a story that came out today, and Ryan in Nashville's texted in about it. There was a story that came out today. I saw it last night. Scoop Nashville reported that basically there was an incident involving Bud Dupree at a Walgreens in North Nashville, and I was kind of keeping my eye on it. I'm not an investigative reporter, so this is not something that I would spend all of my time looking at. They followed up their details, according to Scoop Nashville. And according to the Titans, they followed up their details that there was a physical altercation at the Walgreens at 1104 Rosa Parks Boulevard involving Bud Dupree, several people with him, and two employees. The dispute began after an employee began videoing Bud Dupree with his phone. There are currently no charges present. The police said that they are looking to speak to Bud Dupree. The Titans have a statement on that and say, quote, we are aware of the situation and we are gathering additional information. Let me just say this. I don't like it. Now, I don't know what happened. I don't know who did what to who. I don't know who started it. I'm not going to pretend to know. I'm not going to pretend to, you know, throw a fit about Bud Dupree. And, dude, you just won the division and you're playing great. And now you got to – I'm not going to do that because I don't know. I don't know if Bud did anything wrong. I don't know if Bud didn't do anything wrong. I don't know. I just – but it feels like the kind of distraction that you really don't need this time of year, that you really don't need. And it'd be one thing if it was a rookie or a second-year guy, but Bud's been in this league for a long time. You know, Bud signed his big contract and talked about being a leader. Can we stay out of the headlines? Can we stay out of the police investigations? Can we stay out of the Walgreens? I saw that story and I thought, oh, God. And I don't know what happened. And it could be bad. It could be nothing. I don't know. But just, can we just stay out of the headlines? That's all I'm asking. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So Titan fans and the media that covers them, and I don't know who is more vocal about this, but they are pushing for Mike Vrabel to be coach of the year. Should he? We'll discuss next. Stillman & Company, TSP and 1025 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.